2 weeks ago this morning, I woke up at 4:30 in the morning in Ajo, Arizona. It's a tiny town south and west of Phoenix in the middle of the desert. Though barely light out, it was already hot when I gathered with the other 60 or so people, mainly other ministers and rabbis, in the town's square to eat breakfast and pack our lunches for the day ahead. We circled up for a prayer and a blessing, led by a Native American man, before we divided up into rented 15-passenger vans and rode out for over 2 hours on a bumpy dirt road into the middle of the Sonoran Desert. On the drive out, we passed around a Sharpie marker, and we each wrote messages of hope and blessing in Spanish on the 2 water jugs that we each planned to carry and leave in the desert. The organizers from No More Deaths told us that though the Border Patrol agents routinely slash or pour out any jugs that they come across, they have determined that 86% of the water left by humanitarian aid workers is in fact found by migrants who are in desperate need of it. So I held those jugs in my lap and imagined the person who might find this water. I drew hearts and a cross, and I wrote the words, Vaya con Dios, go with God, and Te amo, I love you. The vans eventually parked on the side of the dirt road, and we all piled out and began walking as far as we could collectively walk under the unrelenting August sun. Once we reached a good spot, we fanned out in a very long line and placed the gallon jugs 20 to 30 feet apart from one another, and then made our way back to the vans. It was getting hotter and hotter. I think the temperature was climbing by the minute. Along our walk, we saw slashed open water jug and some remnants of clothing, some shoe coverings that the migrants wear over their shoes to keep from leaving tracks in the dirt. Evidence that this was, in fact, a route that people were using to travel north. Back at the vans, the medics passed out ice and cold bottles of water and tended to a few people who were feeling sick and overheated. And then we began the long drive back over the bumpy road, back to Ajo. Now, back in June, when my colleague first invited me to attend this social justice event, I was both excited about it and, I will admit, a little nervous. I don't do well in the heat, but I had a deep desire to know firsthand what these migrants were experiencing. I needed to feel in my body the intensity of the environment, the saguaro and cholla cactuses, rattlesnakes, coyotes, and the Border Patrol agents and self-appointed armed militia literally hunting people. No amount of study could have prepared me for the intensity of being there. I can't tell you what a tremendous relief it was to get back in the air-conditioned van after what turned out to be only 90 minutes outside. On the drive back to Ajo, I couldn't stop thinking about the men and women and children who walk for days and sometimes weeks, risking everything for the hope of a better life. What horrors must they be fleeing for this to seem like their very best option? What gave them the courage to begin such a perilous journey? And how do they find the courage to keep walking when everything they encounter, from the plants and the animals, the extreme temperatures, and the law enforcement, all seem to want to do them harm? We just sang, when troubles wait at every turn, I know I can go on. How do they do it? Where does courage like that come from? The Tao Te Ching says that courage is derived from love. Lao Tzu taught, being deeply loved by somebody gives you strength, while loving someone deeply gives you courage. Loving deeply gives you courage. And we are witnessing incredible injustice and acts of unbelievable cruelty towards those with less power in our nation and in the wider world. If our deepest desire is to turn things around, to build a new way of relating to one another based on justice and compassion, we will need to develop in ourselves this level of bravery, which means we need to learn to love one another that deeply. Remember that courage is not about waiting for your fear to subside. It's about deciding to do it anyway. One of my friends used to say, just do it scared. Nelson Mandela, a man whose courage has been tested more than most of us, said, I learned that courage is not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it. The brave man is not he who does not feel afraid, but he who conquers the fear. Courage is simply the choice to not let the fear drive you. It'll still be there, but don't let it behind the wheel of your life. Make it ride in the back. We have examples of people who have had that kind of courage to resist injustice all across history. The people in Europe who hid Jews from the Nazis. The people in this country who helped form the Underground Railroad. In recent history, the teens from Parkland, Florida, who turned their deep love and their deep grief into a national movement called #NeverAgain. It took incredible courage for them. They faced unconscionable criticism by calling out all the politicians who were being bribed by the NRA. They just finished a month-long bus tour. They visited 33 cities in an effort to galvanize people to vote for candidates who support sensible gun laws and to energize young people to get them out to register and to vote in November. One of the most impactful viral videos that I think I have ever seen was one I'd seen lately. It's a young Swedish woman named Ellen Ersson. She's 22 years old. And she refused to sit down on her airline flight until a man who was on the plane who was being deported to Afghanistan was removed from the plane. The man had been seeking asylum in Sweden. Ellen holds her phone's camera on her the whole time. She says into the video, that the man will surely die if he is sent back to that war-torn country. She keeps her camera on herself for a full 15 minutes while the flight crew and several passengers try to intimidate her into complying with airline regulations and sitting down so the plane can take off. But she knew her rights, and she says through fierce tears, I am trying to save a man's life. You are only concerned about making your flight. Her courage is absolutely breathtaking. And if you haven't seen this video, I encourage you to look it up. Gradually, the other passengers on the plane get wind of what is happening, and more of them begin to stand up. A whole soccer team stands up in the back of the plane. And they do eventually take this Afghani man off the plane. And then the passengers erupt into applause. I'd like to think it was all because they took this man off the plane. Many of them probably just were happy to get the flight underway, but in any event, what gave this young woman, 22 years old, what gave her this courage? She didn't know the man personally. You can see from her face in the video and the way that her voice wavers that she was clearly frightened. But she refused to give in to that fear. She dug in and she fought for a stranger's life. This is the kind of deep love for one another that we are being called to today. Another story, a little bit closer to home. A few months ago in June, A woman was riding a Greyhound bus from Bakersfield to Las Vegas. As the bus approached the agricultural checkpoint at the Nevada state line, the driver made an unusual announcement. He said, "We are being boarded by Border Patrol. Please be prepared to show your documentation upon request." The woman immediately reacted. She stood up and loudly said, "This is a violation of your Fourth Amendment rights. You don't have to show them..." Well, she said a bad word, but you don't have to show them anything. She then used Google Translate to repeat her message in Spanish, reassuring the Spanish-speaking woman sitting beside her and probably countless other passengers. The Border Patrol agents boarded the bus and started to ask the passengers for their documentation. The woman stood up again and shouted, "You have no right to ask me for anything. This is harassment and racial profiling. We are not within 100 miles of a border, so these agents have no legal right or jurisdiction here." Her simple and courageous act of resistance was enough, and the Border Patrol agents, realizing that they would be facing an uphill battle, immediately retreated, telling the driver to continue on. My first thought when I heard that story was, wow, she was brave. And then I had a little wave of shame, realizing that I wouldn't have done the same thing because I don't know my rights. I don't know what Border Patrol can and can't do. So my next thought was, I need to know my rights. And then my next thought was, you all need to know your rights. That information will help to empower us to speak up when vulnerable people's rights are being violated. So my friends, on September 23rd, 5 weeks from this morning, we will be holding a two-hour ACLU Know Your Rights workshop right here in the hall after the second service. So please plan to stay. Let us learn and empower and encourage ourselves and one another so that we have what it takes to stand up to injustice. So equipping ourselves with information is going to be really helpful. But when we are talking about stopping those in power from harming those with less power, our number one source of strength, fueling our courage, will be our deep love. We got all the love, all that we need to change our world. Part of the strategy of oppressors, which is to say the strategy of the forces of evil, is always to create a state of fear and confusion. They say that we can't trust the news, we can't trust science, we can't trust one another. But we, as a people of faith, know better. And we must choose to see through their intentional obfuscation and stay rooted in the truth of what we know. Fear may be contagious, but so is courage. There are lots of fears to overcome. We're afraid of being ridiculed or ostracized, of being physically hurt, or of getting in trouble. But if we stay firmly anchored in what is really true, which is to say, in reality, in the present moment, in love, in God, then we will always be on the right track. Ask yourself, what would love do? And you will never be guided wrongly. The truth is that you and I, those migrants who are right now in this very moment making their way across that desert, and the Border Patrol agents, all people are beings of love. We are all sparks of light, of consciousness, walking around in these flesh suits. Even those politicians sitting comfortably in Washington, though many have become lost, corrupted by material greed, unmoored from their own humanity, still the truth is that we are all beings of love. We all love our children, all of our hearts break. Our deepest human desire underneath everything is to live in peace and harmony. It is love that drives people into the desert to be reunited with and to support their beloveds. It was love that overcame my fear of being miserably hot and brought me into that same desert. It was love that caused that young Swedish woman to risk ridicule and arrest to save a stranger's life. It was love that made that woman stand up to the militarized border patrol on the Greyhound bus. It is love that is propelling the national fight for gun reform. It is love that fuels all our efforts for justice and for peace. Love is the source of our courage. It has always been, it is now, and it will always be. This world is asking deep courage of us right now. Let us consciously strengthen our courage muscles. It's time to begin or deepen your meditation practice. Meditation strengthens our ability to focus and direct our attention. When we gain control of our awareness, we have a much easier time staying connected to what we know is true, no matter what kind of confusion is swirling around us. It is time to begin or deepen your prayer practice. When you make an intentional connection with your source of highest truth, you will discover there peacefulness, perspective, and unconditional love. This is the kind of loving deeply that will stoke the fire of our courage. May it be so, my friends. Amen. And I love you.